Hello everybody. We come to the third chapter of our book on logistics and distribution management, and here we will continue from where we left in the earlier discussion on transportation. So there we looked at the infrastructural requirements, we looked at the modes of transport, which particular cases, which mode of transport is more relevant. In this particular module, we will look at the operational part of it. That was the strategy. This is all about the execution, how you develop the pricing and what are the further details that we need to know to be successful in this sphere of transportation management. So here we go. Transportation economics and pricing. Economics and pricing are concerned with factors and characteristics that drive cost. An overview of transportation economics and pricing builds upon four topics. Firstly, the factor that drive the cost of transportation, the cost structures or classifications, the pricing strategy of various transporters or carriers, transportation rates and ratings. We'll see each of them. Now, the factors that drive transportation costs. So these are the economic drivers. So they, you can say there are roughly seven factors which drive the transportation costs. Firstly, and most logically, it is the distance. So the more distance you have to travel, the total quantum of cost will be more. Secondly, the weight. Now the weight, again, it will depend. One box might cost you 10 rupees to transport. Two boxes will cost you 20 rupees. So here, three boxes, 30 rupees. But if you send 100 boxes, the per unit rate might come down to 5 rupees. So this is how the economics of transportation works. Thirdly, density. So in terms of the first two factors, we have read in the last chapter that the increase in distance and the increase in weight both have a inverse relationship with the freight. So if distance increases, freight goes down per unit. If weight increases, per kg freight cost comes down. Similarly, density. If your product is dense, that is it takes lesser number or lesser units of space for the same amount of volume, then it is good for transportation. Because in many trucks or the many transportation bodies, what happens is the truck gets full, yet all your cargo cannot be loaded because you have highly voluminous cargo, or the density is such that you need bigger boxes. So 1 kg of material will need a much bigger box than 1 kg of another material. Thus, although the regulated weight of the truck might be 9 tons, you might only be able to take 4 tons in that truck because your volume is already full. So that will have an impact on the cost. Stowability, so ODC, the cargo which cannot be fitted properly or over-dimensional cargo is most expensive. Then the handling of the cargo, liability of the carrier and market conditions, this also has an impact on the transportation costs. First, let's look at the distance part. In distance here, you have the distance and here you have the transportation cost per unit. So at distance D1, it becomes more profitable to use rail transport than road transport, while from distance D2, maritime transport becomes advantageous. So you can do such kind of mathematical calculation to see which kind of transportation is more suitable for a particular type of product. The genetic distance, geographic proximity and economic variables are strongly correlated. Distance is a major influence on transportation costs since it directly contributes to variable expenses such as labor, fuel and maintenance. So if you have to travel more, you will incur more fuel cost, more labor cost, etc. Different transportation modes have different cost functions according to the service distance. While road has a lower cost function for short distance, its cost function climbs faster than rail and other maritime cost functions. Then the second most important variable is the weight of the shipment. The transport cost per unit of weight decreases as load volume increases. So here if you see the carrying cost increases, here you get some kind of an equilibrium. So the higher the weight, lower will be the per unit cost of transportation. Density, transportation cost per unit declines as product density increases. So assuming that the economy has larger vehicles, you know, it's like this. If you, the cost of running a 9-ton truck is more than the cost of running a 16-ton truck. Now even you have trailers which can take up to 40 tons of cargo. So if your cargo is of such density that it can fit into bigger vehicles, then you will be able to use economies of scale, and thus the more dense cargo becomes cheaper to move. In terms of weight and space, an individual vehicle is constrained more by space than by weight. Higher density products allow fixed costs to be spread across additional weight, resulting in the decrease in the per unit cost. Fourthly, we talked about stowability. It refers to the product's dimensions and impact on the same on vehicle utilization. All sizes and shapes, as well as excessive weights and lengths, do not stow well and typically waste space. Though density and stowability are similar, products may have same density that store differently. Items with regular shapes are easier to store than odd-shaped items. The bottom line is, if you have an odd-dimensional cargo to move, you will pay a much, much higher rate of freight than what the distance of the movement of that cargo or what the weight of the cargo would otherwise have logically inferred. So it will not go by the distance, nor will it go by the weight. It will have a special calculation because of its odd shape. Handling, special handling equipment may be required for loading and unloading of high volume or high weight cargoes. Consequently, the cost of transportation will be higher. Liability, product characteristics such as susceptibility to damage, perishability, or susceptibility to threat and explosion affect the risks and hence the claims. So basically, products which are highly perishable, like for example in India, when the mango season starts, or there are certain other particular vegetables or fruits which are short duration crops or products, when these goods need to be moved, the freight rates are extremely high. So for a trader dealing in, say, mangoes for example, he has to send the mangoes from the point of origin to the destination the shortest possible point in time. So he is ready to pay even a higher freight, because if the delivery fails within a particular point in time, the market will go to somebody else and he will lose all his money, because the product will be perishable, it will be damaged. In the market, the backhaul, that's vehicle returning back to the point of origin with load, deadhead to be avoided because empty returns incur labor, fuel and maintenance. Thus designs of logistics system must add backhaul movement. So this is also called as the milk route or the milk run, wherein if you are able to give the transporter a return cargo, then the total cost of movement will be significantly reduced. So for the same customer, he gets to and fro movement. Now the cost structure, we briefly touched upon it in the last discussion. It is basically classified into variable cost, fixed costs and joint costs. So what are the variable costs of transportation? So variable costs, as a concept of economics which all of you must be aware, is cost which will vary with the performance. So here variable costs are expenses that change in direct proportion to the activity of a business. It includes direct carrier costs associated with movement of each load, example fuel. This is the most important variable cost. Travel time, crash risk, etc. are variable vehicle costs because they increase directly with the vehicle mileage. fixed cost. Fixed costs are expenses whose total does not change in proportion to the business. So these include the driver's salary, if the truck has been taken on a loan basis, the payment of the EMI of the loan, if the insurance of the truck. So all these payments will have to be made whether the truck is running for 25 days in a month, 30 days in a month, or 5 days in a month. These are fixed expenses which have to be incurred. Fixed costs can be further subdivided for many transport operations into standing costs and administrative overheads. So administrative overheads will also include the salary of the manager and other people working in the transport company. So some of the examples include depreciation, insurance, residential parking are considered fixed. Similarly, what is joint cost? Joint cost occurs when the production of one goods inevitably results in the production of another goods in some fixed proportion. Similarly, a common costs arise when the facilities used to produce one transport service is also used to produce another type of services. Example, when a track or terminal used to produce freight services is also used for passenger services, then there has to be a allocation of how much of the tracks or the terminal's expense will be allocated. These are called like allocation keys, will be allocated to the freight cost center, how much will come to the passenger cost center. Now, once you understand the costing strategies, you need to understand how the pricing strategies work, because as logistics manager, it is our job to negotiate with the transporters to get the best possible service at the lowest possible freight rate. Now, how you negotiate or how well you negotiate will depend upon your preparedness, and there it's a very basic assumption that you need to know how he is coming to his costing, how he is coming to what he is finally quoting to you. Carrier pricing strategies. When setting rates to charge shippers, carriers typically follow one or a combination of two strategies. Firstly, the cost service strategy. The carrier estimates the cost of providing services and then adds a percentage profit margin, the most simplest thing to do. My trip from Delhi to Agra will cost me a fuel cost of say 3,000, a driver salary of X thousand, whatever totally I will spend 10,000 for the trip, including everything, fixed, variable, everything. Then depending on how much margin I want to earn, I will quote to the customer. Say then you will say, I quote you 12,000. But in most negotiations, the cost is not shared by the transporter. So it is the job of the logistics guy to understand what his cost would be and then challenge him when he is quoting the final price if it is on a higher side. Commonly used for pricing transport of low value goods or in highly competitive situation, because this will give you the lowest possible quote. Vis-a-vis this, you have the value of service pricing. Here, price is based on the value as perceived by the shipper rather than by the carrier. So the shipper thinks that the value of moving the goods from here to here is going to be X thousand. Commonly used when services are sold in niche markets. Here, the possibility of the carrier receiving a premium rate slightly increases. Combination pricing strategy. Price is set at a value of cost of service minimum and a value of service maximum. So this is somewhere in between. And net rate pricing, it's a simplified pricing format. Now, how are the rates and the transportation ratings done? The rate is the price to move a product per hundredweight between two locations. So, say per mile in a truckload. Rates may include a minimum charge and a surcharge. Now, what are the different kinds of rates that are prevalent today? Class rate. The intent of the class rate system is to simplify the process for pricing freight with inherently different freight characteristics. Logic remains, lower the class, lower the price. Now, the principal factors used in the freight classification process are as under: cost of service to the carrier, value of service to the shipper, competition, value of article, methods of packing and protecting the article. Now here, competition is something that we need to discuss in detail. There are, especially in the road sector in India, literally hundreds and thousands of transporters. Now depending on the organization which a person or a logistics manager represents and the brand associated with that company, it becomes a question of association for the carrier and the company. So the carrier would want to be associated with a brand. If the brand is big enough, then the transporter for a temporary time might even quote a freight which is at a break-even point, meaning that he will quote a freight which is even lower than his cost of operations, thereby latching on for the first time with the brand that he is associated, which in turn will give him business elsewhere. So for example, if there are two big FMCG companies A and B, a transporter is not working with neither A nor B. Now he knows that if he is able to get a transportation business for company A, then he may approach company B, and there the fact that he is already working with A will add a greater value and he might get additional business. So when competition comes into picture in transportation economics especially, all the rules of economics and logic and plausibility are at times thrown into the wind. Dimension and weight: low value freight that is easy to handle, unlikely to damage, and dense cargo will receive lower class ratings than expensive rates. Freight classification: this work involves determining appropriate classification for various items or commodities by reference to published classification guides. Classification also includes the study of the transportation characteristics of items or commodities which are new or not usually shipped in commercial channels. Classification may include the development of narrative and exhibit material and related information to request new classifications. Products are also assigned classifications on the basis of the quantity that is to be shipped. Rate determination: this work involves the determination of the appropriate, legally applicable and most economical rates and routes for the movement of domestic and foreign freight via any or all modes of transport. These determinations are made in accordance with published classifications, tariffs and tariff ratings. Fourthly, we have the commodity rates. The global economy and its production systems are highly integrated, interdependent and linked through commodity chains. Value chain, also known as commodity chain, is a functionally integrated network of production, trade and service activities that covers all the stages in a supply chain. Value chains enable sequencing of inputs and outputs between a range of suppliers and customers. The value chains are constantly upgraded to fit technological costs and market changes. Then we come to the concept of exception rates. Some carriers will offer exception rates when the characteristics of a commodity varies from the characteristics of the same commodity in a different geographical region. Then in the C mode, there is a very common term called freight all kind rate, or even if this is slightly applicable in air also, but mostly in C. Shipping industry term for a carrier's tariff classification for various kinds of goods that are pooled and shipped together at one freight rate. So it's a FAK, freight all kind rate. Then there is something called a joint rate which applies for carriage over the lines of two or more carriers and which is published as a single amount. What's a local rate? Charge which applies to carriage over the lines of a single carrier. Proportional rate which is used in combination with other rates to establish a through rate. Transit services permit a shipment to be stopped at an intermediate point between initial origin and destination for unloading, storage or processing. Especially in the shipping industry, you have the concept of what we call as transshipment, wherein, you know, feeder vessels. So you are, suppose you are shipping something from Malaysia to India. It's a probability that the ship will come to Singapore, stop there, the container will be loaded into another ship which will directly come from Singapore to Navasheva or Chennai or wherever. Split delivery, a method by which a larger quantity is ordered on a purchase order to secure a lower price, but delivery is divided into small quantities and spread out over several dates to control inventory, save storage, etc. So you give a PO or a purchase order for a, say, 100 metric ton shipment, wherein you give the delivery schedule that you want 100 metric ton as 10 shipments of 10 tons each. So accordingly, the supplier will have to arrange for the shipments. Environmental logistics. Logistics service providers have started to green their operations in order to help their customers to be better prepared for predictable and future green demand from both market and government legislations. As I mentioned, carbon footprint, the less carbon footprint your company has, the better it is in the eyes of the government and even the customers. Extant works dealing with barriers to green initiatives in LSPs distinguish between internal and external barriers. Internal barriers include financial, technical and managerial information. External barriers include policy and market issues. Then we come to the concept of transport administration. This includes operations management. The operation of transportation determines the efficiency of moving products. The progress in techniques and management principles improves the moving load, delivery speed, service quality, operations cost, use of facilities, energy saving, and the transport management system is used to seamlessly manage every facet of the supply chain. So a good TA or a good transport administration is required to lower costs and give better service quality to the customers, whether they are internal customers or they are external customers. Now, a good transport management system serves as the logistics hub in a collaborative network of shippers, carriers and customers. It's the nerval focal center of a good logistics and distribution network. The business value of a fully deployed TMS should achieve the following goals. Most importantly, reduce and optimize costs through better route planning, load optimization, carrier mix and mode selection. So, mode selection, very, very important. For particular distances, you should have an intermodal, multimodal movement of goods. Route selection is very important. We need to understand which route the transporter will take, or the transporter or the carrier themselves need to evaluate the route selection vis-a-vis their cost of operations. Load optimization, this is very important. The less of lower LTLs that you can use, the better it is. The more of FTLs, it is better from a delivery perspective and also from a cost perspective. Improved accountability with visibility into the transportation chain. Greater flexibility to make changes in delivery plans. Completion of key supply chain execution requirements. Equipment scheduling and yard management. This is also a very important topic in transportation infrastructure and operations management. Transportation delays often take place not on the road, but while assets are still in the yards or at distribution centers, which are warehouses and manufacturing plant. Some common yard management related challenges are lengthy gate check-in process. Now, not only in railway yards, this is also an issue in many factories, wherein the time spent by the truck in entering a manufacturing plant and till it goes to the stores or the warehouse for unloading, and by the time it unloads and comes out, is so huge that overall at a national level this adds to a huge cost of operation which finally gets levied onto the customers. So it's in our interest that we try to reduce this. Multiple or redundant moves, time consuming checks. So same thing being checked by one, two or three people. Excessive detention charges. Unproductive administration time due to ineffective communication and general lack of actionable information. Yard management can be described in a framework covering the following main processes: resource planning, decisions on capacity, labor and equipment requirements and yard zoning, task scheduling, dock appointment, management of inbound and outbound shipments, yard process execution, check-in and out of trailers and trucks and tractors, staging areas or move to dock doors for loading and unloading. Basically, the yard or the warehouse or the plant management has to be made more efficient only by looking into carrier selection. Lead times in the road will not suffice. You need to look into your own yard, into your own warehouse and see that you have correct, efficient and robust processes available for quick and efficient loading unloading operations. Even monitoring for security control and generating alert notifications, asset tracking, records of asset, inventory, movement and history, and performance management. So all this, if done through a good software, will give you data and intelligent reports which will let the manager take action on things which are of the highest priority. Then we come to the important concept of load planning. Load planning encapsulates the various ways of loading consignment, whether to have pallets, whether to have single units, multiple layers. Load planning would control the transfer of freight around the country. It would make sure that goods are moved in the most efficient way, taking into account schedules, costs, health, and safety. Load planning would involve deciding on how many vehicles will be needed to deliver each shipment of the goods, working out how much it will cost to make each delivery, planning the safest way to load, unload goods, monitoring each delivery, reviewing the load plans with clients. Other softwares which also help in optimizing transportation operations include routing and advanced shipment notification. ASN is a notification of pending deliveries. It is sent in an electronic format and is a common EDI document. The goal of this is to provide information to the destinations receiving operations well in advance of a delivery. This tends to impact the logistics stream in three areas: cost, accuracy, and getting the desired flexibility in the operations. Now we come to movement operations. Fleet management is a function that oversees, coordinates, and facilitates various transport and transport-related activities, such as the management of vehicle fleets used in the transportation of cargo. Now here, there's one more distinction that we need to note. There might be organizations which will be using their own fleets and even drivers for deliveries, etc. But most organizations will, you know, live with leased vehicles. Where you call in the transporter, they send in the vehicles, etc. Now, where the organizations where they have their own fleet, this becomes even more important. Effective fleet management aims at reducing and minimizing overall costs through maximum cost-effective utilization of resources such as vehicles, fuels, spare parts, etc. Movement administration, vehicle management, if properly managed, would ensure availability of vehicles as and when required, cost efficiency, response continuity, staff safety, vehicle safety and security, and enhance performance management.